Thank you for singing that song. It's a good prayer song. And we'd like to greet you in the precious name of Jesus. I was thinking there's a lot of things we could say about marriage and courting. And the thing that struck me is that everything that God puts together, Satan likes to destroy. And marriage and courtship is no exception. So I keep thinking God is everything. If we keep God center in our lives, it's going to work out if we keep God first. My mind was drawn to a lot of things this past week. I was at a meeting, a township meeting, and there was a person who had a heart attack there, my neighbor, and kind of changed the demeanor of the whole meeting real quick. When you have EMTs and everybody using, we call that electric thing that shocks them, and and everybody goes outside, and it's very sobering. You don't know if the person's going to make it or not. And you see people crying, and it's kind of a touching time. But the fact is, none of us have the promise of tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be here next week. But we do know that God knows this. And I'm thankful that my neighbor's home. He came home yesterday. He has a couple things in him, pacemaker and all this stuff. But his son told me he feels like he's back in the saddle because he's telling him what to do again. So he's back in the saddle. But at that time, it was a little scary. Also, I can say that we want to thank you for your prayers. This past week was another change in my life a little bit. I'll just tell you where I'm at. I've been going to a place of business for probably 33 years, and they gave me a date that I'm finished. And it's mixed feelings. I mean, I've been going to this place, and I probably am there longer than almost all the workers there, which is kind of amusing. And the other day, we were in the lunchroom, and one of them said, "Well, things don't always last forever." And I said, "Well, eternity does." And it was very interesting to watch. They were all there for lunch. And there was a couple people. Thank you, Titus. The fellow that made that statement, you know, he's tattooed up and everything else, and he didn't say much, but there was different people in that room that were they were nodding their heads, and they were like, "Absolutely, eternity is forever." And so I thought of it afterward. I guess I didn't realize how much of an impact that statement would have made to some people. But I realized that's what we're here for. We're here to be the salt. We're here to be the light. We're here to help people look beyond now. And I have a lot of people that are texting me and all this stuff, you know, wishing me well and all this kind of thing. And it's mixed. Art called me up and heard about it. And he said, "Well, what are you going to do with all your extra time?" And I said, "I don't think that's going to be a problem." And my wife said that, "Well, as you mature, you slow down a little bit." So I'll probably need that extra time there. But God is good. So I'm thankful how God works. This morning, you saw I put up on the board here the acronym for MOTHER: modest, optimistic, tender, helpful, exquisite, and real. I have a little bit of a question for you all. This was kind of shocking to me. Last year, I had to preach the Mother's Day message. Daryl and Grace had to go to Oregon last year. And last year was the first time we gathered together in many weeks. And I thought, wow, is it a year gone by already? And we were, you know, doing everything online for a while because of the COVID thing. And I thought, wow, it's amazing. So I think if I remember the message right, I had a quiz for you, and I have a quiz for you now. The year before that, do you know who preached the message on Mother's Day? 2019, May 12th. Well, maybe I should ask you, what was last year's title? Last year's title, I might as well tell you, is The Power of Influence of Women. That was The Power of Influence of Women, and it was out of 1 Timothy. That was May 10th. May 12th, 2019, True Motherhood, Proverbs 31, by Brother John Slamaker. May 13th, 2018, Blessed Mothers, by Brother John Slamaker. And I'm like, I told my wife, I said, this got to stop. And I realized the reason why I'm here is because I rolled people. It suited somebody else, Yuri. Anyway, you know, and so I didn't think about it at the time, but I thought, okay, here I am again. This is the fourth year, and I, you know, Lord willing, might have to not do it next year. We never know, but I'm going to definitely try and get Dow or somebody else to do this because you're going to get bored with me. But anyway, that's just tidbits of interest. We have acronyms a lot, and I still use them. Truth is something that we say. Truth is trustworthy, real, unchanging, thorough, and healing. That's what truth is, okay? Well, the thing that struck me this past week, it hit me yesterday, actually. I have a question. The question is this. What do we do with truth? What do you do with truth? I had a conversation with a person here, and they were discouraged. And they just were like, you know, I'm praying, nothing's happening, or this isn't doing, or this isn't going right. And I would like somebody, we can look into that. What we do with truth, we have to learn to trust it. And I would like you to turn to Proverbs 3. It's a very popular verse. We sing it, we say it a lot. It's actually my favorite verse as a teenager. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The thing that strikes me about that is, do we really trust? Are we really trusting the truth? Are we trusting Jesus Christ? Because Jesus is, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's who we need to trust. The thing that also, when we look at truth, what am I doing with it? My question is, do you read it? Do you read this truth? Do you take time to read it every day? I sometimes question it. I'll put it like this. I listen. I turn on my Bible app, and I go through. I love Proverbs. I never get done with Proverbs because it has so many words of wisdom. And every time I go through it, it's like, oh, wow, that was a new, I forgot about that. And so the question is, what are you doing with truth? Are you reading it? Do you trust it? Next thing is, with reading it, in Psalms 1, you know, it talks about we are doing. Let me just read it. To me, Psalms, we think of David. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the city of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, and sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. So, coming back to this, do you read it? Now, and what do you do with truth? Do you understand it? I would like to read a portion of scriptures in Proverbs again. There's some verses here that really, it really stood out to me because of the many times I think it says understanding. Proverbs 2, I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that are upright. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So, what are you doing with truth? Do you understand it? Are you connecting with God in such a way that you understand what he wants? The other thought is, First Timothy 3, I'd like to read just a few verses there. First Timothy 3, it says here, is that right? Oh, no wonder. Second Timothy, that definitely didn't add up. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word is, after we understand and live out truth, we need to teach it. We need to share it. We need to be able to give it to other people. Then, this is one that some people get weary of. They need to hear it. And that's why you're here. You're supposed to hear the truth. The question is, are you really hearing it? I would like to read some verses in James. James chapter 2. It's just two verses here. It says here, verse 25. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and is called the friend of God. This doesn't make sense. Am I right? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. No. Okay, I'm sorry, I had the wrong. I'll read a little further. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What I'm driving at is, when we hear the word, it has to be a part of our life. It comes out of us. It is in us to the point that it affects our lives. So, yes, you're right. You're right. Thank you. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Thank you, Eugene. That is what I wanted. It just didn't make sense. Thank you. So, anyway. So the question again is, what are you doing with truth? With that in mind, I'd like to go into the message that was just kind of like a prelude. And that is, I would like to, we always go to Proverbs. There's some verses that I think are just hard to beat. Reads in Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. 25. Strength and honor in her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I am thankful for a wonderful wife, and I think I shared this before, but I've said that I have kind of renamed my wife as the mother of many, because she has touched a lot of people, and she's a very giving person. And when we were talking about courtship, I think we've said this before, there's two types of people in the world. There's givers and takers. And technically, you want to stay away from the takers. Because technically, you have givers and takers. And in this world, we have two kingdoms. And it doesn't take too much of a mathematician to figure out which is which. Because God is a giver. He has given you another day. He has given you life. He has given you breath. He has given you healthy bodies. He has given you so many things. And the question is, did you thank him today for that? Did you thank him? Do you have this attitude of gratitude that gives you altitude in life? Or are you just taking this for granted and say, oh, this is just another day? And people who are takers are seeing what they can get out of life for themselves, for their selfish interests. It's a little bit like was said here prior. You know, a person's place or where they put God in their life and how selfish they are the two key factors as far as whether they're going to be successful or not, in my mind. I would like you to turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. I don't know if I'm going to read the whole thing. This is in regards to Joshua coming into Jericho. And this is the account of Rahab. And if I had a title, I would probably call this Rahab's Story. Because the reason why I gave this up front is to help you understand what Rahab did in her life and the results. Someone said that, you know, Rahab found redemption. And the way she found redemption is because she found God. And that same thing is for each one of us. If you want to find redemption in your life, you're going to have to put God in it. All right, verse 1, chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight to the children of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, and they be come to search out the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time shutting of the gates, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I went not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them in the stalks of the flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the forts. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, unto the other side of Jordan, Shion and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by the cord through the window of her house, and was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the streets, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thine house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away. They departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountains and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came unto Jordan to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." I would like you to realize Rahab was a harlot. She was also an innkeeper. And the thing that struck me about this whole thing is she knew what was going on. She had people coming and going, and she knew the stories of what was happening when Israel left, when they left Egypt, and how the Red Sea parted and all that. So she knew that firsthand, and it just made everybody quake because they knew that there was a God of Israel that was powerful. The thing that stood out to me is a lot of things did. She protected the spies because she feared God. And if you remember what we said in Proverbs, she that feareth the Lord shall be praised. And if you would understand, she was diligent. In other words, as soon as the spies were down, she put that cord right in the window. I mean, there was no question. She did that first. She made sure that she was doing everything that was supposed to be to keep her saving her and her household, her family. It doesn't say she was married. I'm going to kind of go fast forward here a little bit. But it's interesting that, well, let's go to Joshua 6. I'll just quickly read this. That way you got the gist of the story. Joshua 6, 17. I'll go to 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. The Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that was sent. And then in verse 23, it says, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. So they fulfilled their promise. But Rahab was concerned about her family. She was a compassionate woman. And so she wasn't selfish. She was a giver. She was someone that feared God. And she was a giving person to the point where she wanted to save her parents and her brothers and sisters. With that being said, I came across this little statement. It says, Rahab was a model of hospitality, mercy, faith, patience, repentance, and her relation to the spies, her, keeping them safe. And she was a woman that was in the know because of her position as an innkeeper. The thing that strikes me is, what does the Bible say? I'm going to give these verses out. If someone could read Matthew 5, I'm sorry, Matthew 1, 5. Anyone? Matthew 1, 5. Hebrews 11, 31. 11, 31. And James 2, 24 to 26. All right, Matthew 1, 5.
Salmon begat Boaz, Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse.
Matthew 1, 5. Mm-hmm. It's her name in there?
Mm-hmm. Go a little bit earlier.
One more higher, go to 4. I'm pretty sure let me go to 5. Rahab is that was her. In other words, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz is Rahab's son. Boaz is Rahab's son. That's where her name is. It's changed a little bit, but that's her name. It's not a male. It's a female. And the interesting thing that strikes me about this whole thing, there's only 4 women that are mentioned in the lineage of Christ. And it doesn't say Bathsheba, but it says Solomon, the son of Uriah's wife. So she was mentioned, Bathsheba, and Rahab, Ruth, and Mary. It's interesting. So in other words, what strikes me is, I think Abner made that comment one time. You know, Rahab and Ruth are both of heathen descent. You know, they weren't Jews, but they were brought into the kingdom, which tells me God's love for the world. That's my personal opinion. But the thing that strikes me is, here is a woman that feared God to the point that she was put in the lineage of the birth of Christ. So, to me, that's powerful. All right, Hebrews 11:31. Rahab, again, is mentioned. It says Rahab the harlot. In other words, she's noted for that. All right, James 2:24-26. Right. Okay, let's go back to this board. What did she do with truth? She heard it. She lived it out. In other words, what made Rahab a special woman? She feared God. What makes her so great? She trusted the truth. She read. She didn't read the truth. She didn't have that then, but she understood it. She understood that God was everything. And then she was able to teach her family, come with me. This is life. If you want to live, come here. And then she lived it out by her works. I guess every one of us, not every one of us are going to be mothers. Not every one of us are going to be a Rahab. Not every one of us are going to have a special place in the lineage of Christ or whatever. But I'll put it like this. We are all special. God loves every one of us. And what makes the difference is, where is God in your picture? Where is God in your life? What are you doing with truth? Are you following this truth? Is it becoming a part of your life that the world can see you or can see God in you? Are you living? Are you speaking? Are you sharing the truth? So I guess with what Rahab's story, she finds redemption. And she finds redemption because she loves and fears God. She realized that's the answer to her, to life. And the thing that stood out to me was, we look at a harlot as a prostitute, the worst thing out there. And I got to thinking, in my lifetime, I have seen God take ashes, like was said here, I think someone said here, and turned it into beauty. And the key is by letting God work in that person's life. In other words, Rahab left God, obeyed God. Did, first of all, he had to believe. The Bible says, she had a fear of God. And the fear of God, without faith, is impossible to please him. And so if we have a fear of God, we automatically have faith. And faith without works is dead. So that fear, the faith, created action. And the question you need to ask yourself is, do I truly fear God? And the other question is, what am I doing with truth? In other words, we know that truth is trustworthy, real, and unchanging, and thorough, and healing. But that's what truth is. But this is what am I doing with it? I would like to challenge you in the fact that if you don't apply the truth to your life, you're not going to make it. We need to live the truth, apply the truth, so that God could be glorified in our lives. There's a lot of hurting people. And I've said it before, God is everything. And I'm just praying that we can see that to a point where we can reach other people. And the older I get, the more I realize, we have people that have mission programs and so on, but the greatest mission that we have is right here, right where you're at. The people you touch in work, your neighbor, your mailman, whatever. There's a story given by, there was a famous preacher, and I don't even know his name, but he was very, very popular, and this person came to him and said, "So, what happened? How did this all happen?" And he said, "Well, he was in a business world, and there was this business where he would go every week, and there was one room where there was a whole bunch of typists and all this, and he watched. He would always go past this room and look in. There was this one woman, she was really going at it. And she was a real fast typist. And someone said, "And who's that?" And he said, "Oh, that's so-and-so. She's a Christian." And it struck his interest to the point where he went and got a chance to talk with her. And he said, "Well, you really put yourself into it." Well, she said, "The Bible said, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." And she said, "I'm doing this for the Lord." And it was through her witness and her life, this man found the Lord. And this man became a preacher. I don't even know his name. I mean, supposedly a great preacher. But it was through this woman's witness, or through her life of just being diligent in her work, where she was at, that brought this man to salvation. So every one of us have the power of influence. And I know it's Mother's Day, and I wish all you mothers happy Mother's Day. But every one of us are influencing someone. And the question is, what are you influencing them to? In other words, are we reflecting God in such a way that they see truth in our lives? Let's all stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we again come before you with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for truth. We ask you might help us to apply these truths to our lives. And Lord, we just ask that you might help each one here to reach out to you, that they might put their faith and trust in you, so that they might fear you like Rahab, and that they would then in turn reflect you in such a way that the world can see you clearly. We thank you, Father, for this freedom that we have of being able to gather in this way and to worship, and we ask that you might direct the leaders of this country to a understanding of who you are and how great you are, and that they might fear you as well. We now pray that you might be with each one of us, keep us safe from harm and danger, and help us to let our light shine for you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.